I got distracted by St. Callistus. What I meant to say at the beginning of the Mass is, this is the death anniversary of my father. Second death anniversary. So this day has a special meaning to me. In fact, he died 2 years ago today. And 1 year ago today, my childhood home was sold. So in the space of 1 year, I lost my father, my mother, and my childhood home. So this day brings back lots of memories. Being here brings back lots of memories. Seeing certain people brings back lots of memories. So, I have lots of things to think of. I think, though, that it's good to reflect on memories, our personal journey. It will help us understand something of the difficult gospel that I just read. So let me try to make a little connection between my own personal journey, our journey, and this gospel. Why is it difficult, this gospel? Because Jesus is blasting away at the scholars of the law, the scribes. Woe to you, woe to you, woe to you. Earlier this week, I said, we should never just take the scriptures as if they only apply to the people that Jesus was speaking to. They're spoken to us too. But it's a little hard to do today because Jesus says, you are guilty of the blood of the death of the prophets. And that sounds pretty unfair to us. Why should I be blamed for the death of the prophets? In fact, he blames them for building memorials of the prophets because their fathers are the ones who killed them. Of course, I'm thinking about the tombstone of my father. We have a tombstone there where he's buried, but we also put a tombstone in his hometown as a memory of his and of our family. And then just recently, we built a beautiful tombstone for Sister Barbara. You know, today's the third month. She died on July 14th, so August, September, October. 3 months ago today, she died. We have a tombstone there where she's buried. Sister Barbara Brennan, co-founder of the Anuim community. I think it's quite a beautiful tribute to her. And here's Jesus accusing the scribes of putting up tombs and memorials. What's wrong here? And then he goes on to say, this generation is going to be charged with the blood of all the prophets shed from the foundation of the world. From the death of Abel, that's the very first murder, remember? Even the young ones know this. Who killed Abel? You know? Who killed Abel? Cain. Cain killed his brother, remember? So Cain and Abel, and then all the way up to the blood of Zechariah, who was, at the time of Jesus, considered the last of the prophets to be murdered. Abel to Zechariah, A to Z. In other words, all. And the blood of all of them is going to be charged to you. And we say, wow, that seems so unfair. What's Jesus talking about here? So let's back off a little bit about what it looks like he's saying and think about how from generation to generation we are the fruit of or we bear the consequences of decisions that were made by people who came before us. I think of this, of course, with my family. I didn't choose to be born. I didn't choose my parents. Nobody does. That's just how it happens. Let me give you a little side story. I hope I get this right because I have a poor memory, but my mother's father, my grandfather, at one time dated a Catholic girl in the same small town who he eventually dropped her because she was Catholic, and that was pretty low in the social scale, you know, back in the 1920s, I guess. Anyway, that girl eventually married my father's father. So my mother's father and my father's mother dated at one time back in the 20s. And then they broke up and then they married others, of course. My grandfather married my grandmother and my grandmother married my grandfather. And then they had children and then my mother and my father got married, of course. So my grandfather's daughter married the son of his old girlfriend. I think I got that right. Anyway, then those two got married, and they had a son who was a priest. That's me. So that's how it happened. Now, I had nothing to do. I chose to be a priest. No one made me be a priest, but God called me. But I didn't choose to be born. I didn't choose my parents. I didn't choose my grandparents. I didn't choose the country where I was born and the nationality. I didn't choose the color of my eyes or whatever things. I didn't even choose the religion that I was born into. I've chosen it since. But I mean, children are raised in the religion of their parents. And you can go back many generations and say, look at all the decisions that were made that we didn't make, but we either bear the consequences or we could say bear the fruit of them. And you could extend this. These are probably random memories, but you know, when I was growing up, the draft was still, there was a required draft. And we all thought that we would be drafted because of the Vietnam War and all that. And then sometime in the 70s, I think early 70s, that was stopped. So by the time I got to high school, it was a voluntary army. And by the time I had to register for the, what do they call that?
Selective service.
When you're 18, men have to register. This has been in the news lately. Oh, yeah, I registered because that was required, but I was never drafted. So I never had any military service. That was not my choice. It just happened that way. If I had been born 6 or 8 years earlier, I would have been in some branch of the military. And that's the way things go. I mean, and imagine something that some congressman or some president decided back in the 70s affected my whole course of my life. Something that the president and the Congress is deciding today might affect our grandchildren. Hopefully we get our act together and we don't let everything collapse the way it looks like. But I'm just saying, we're part of a vast network of decisions, and most of them are not made by us. Now, Jesus is trying to probe the conscience or stir up the conscience of these scholars of the law, because they're very self-righteous and they think they do nothing wrong. He's trying to say, look, not only do you do wrong, you belong to a big pile of wrongdoers. You're part of a mess here. And the blood of all these murders is resting on the human family. Now, we could extend it even further, because all of us are children of our first parents, Adam and Eve, and we all are born with original sin. That wasn't our choice. Nobody asked to have original sin or have the consequences of sin. Nobody asked for that, and it seems so unfair to us. That's just the way it is. We're all connected in this vast network of human decisions and relationships, and it's way bigger than we can understand. So then the question comes up, well, gosh, if we're born into a big mess, what hope is there for anybody? Not just the prophets, the murderers or the prophets or the scribes. What about anybody? And this is exactly the point that Paul makes in today's first reading. He says, there's no distinction. All have sinned and are deprived of the glory of God. He's not only talking about the scribes or the Pharisees. He himself is a Pharisee. He knows he's a sinner. He's talking about all the Jews and all the Gentiles. He's talking about everybody. All have sinned and are deprived of the glory of God. It's a big mess. And we can't fix it. Yeah, these little ones, they don't even know it. Parents know that children have original sin, but the children don't know. It's beautiful to have these little ones here. Yeah. Anyway, so what hope is there? Well, Paul makes it clear. Not by our works. In other words, not by our own righteousness. That's what the scholars of the law, the scribes thought. We'll do it right and we'll make ourselves holy and God will have to bless us. That's all wrong. We can't do it right. We don't make ourselves holy, and God doesn't have to bless us. He chose to bless us already while we are still sinners. How do we get access to that? Through faith. Through faith in Jesus Christ. And the blood, this is mentioned in the first reading here, the blood that makes all the difference is not the blood of all the prophets, but the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay. All have sinned and are deprived of the glory of God. These are key scriptures for us to know. They are justified, meaning all of us are justified, freely by his grace through the redemption in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as an expiation through faith by his blood. So we don't have to be worried about all the sins of all the generations, or even all the good works of all the generations. That's not what makes all the difference. It's the good work of Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us to save everybody. That's where we put our trust. Okay. Now, I was surprised to discover that the entrance antiphon for this Mass is also in today's psalm. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? This is Psalm 130. We had it today. If you, O Lord, mark iniquities, meaning sins, Lord, if you hold us accountable for our sins, who can stand? What hope is there for any of us? But with you is forgiveness, that you may be revered. So even in the Old Testament, they didn't know how it was going to work, but they knew that with God there is forgiveness. I love this antiphon. With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption. That's our hope. With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption. It doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter how many generations we come from. It doesn't matter who our parents and grandparents and everybody are. What matters is with the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption. Amen.